Many, many years ago, there was a boy, his name was Timothy. Timothy was born into a home that is sort of like some homes today, where the mother was a Christian. The mother was a believer in the Lord and a believer in Christ, but the father apparently was not. And the mother did her very best to try to bring Timothy up in the way that she knew the Lord wanted him to be brought up. In fact, even when he was a baby, she would spend time reading the scriptures to him in order that she might impress upon him the great truths, the great value that comes from knowing God's word. As this boy grew up, he became a Christian about the time he was a teenager. Preacher came through town and taught him the gospel. And he was baptized into Christ, became a Christian. Not many years after that, that same preacher, that same missionary, came through town. And instead of just spending time together and instead of just talking together, this young man named Timothy, he decided that he wanted to join this missionary. He hadn't been a Christian all that long, but he knew that what he wanted to do with the rest of his life was to serve God. And so when the Apostle Paul came through town again, he joined Paul on that missionary journey and became one of the Apostle Paul's closest traveling companions. It was not long after Paul had taken with him, when Paul came through Lystra that second time and was learning more about Timothy, he found out that the church in Lystra, and not just the church in Lystra, but the church in Iconium, they all spoke very well and spoke very highly of this young man named Timothy. It was obvious that this teenager had grown up and had become more than just an attendee at worship. He had become actively involved in the work of the church. It was not long after he joined Paul in their travels that he began to witness many of the things that Paul endured. He saw Paul thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. He saw Paul beaten by both Jewish councils and by Romans. He witnessed Paul being stoned with the desire of those men to stone him to death. But Paul did not die. Can you imagine being this young man, traveling with Paul on this occasion, seeing all of these things happening, and what is going through Timothy's head as he sees all of these things done to Paul because Paul is standing up for Christ. When Paul talks about Timothy, he talks about him as his son in the faith. When he writes to other people about Timothy, he talks about him as his beloved Timothy. He calls him his fellow worker. He refers to Timothy as his companion. When Paul writes to the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes about Timothy, a boy who was much younger than Paul. Paul would have been old enough to have been Timothy's father. Paul could have been at least twice as old as Timothy was. But in Philippians chapter 2, when he writes to the church of Philippi about Timothy, he says about Timothy, "I have no one else like-minded like this man." How did this boy, how did he grow up in a home where one of the parents, where his own father wasn't a Christian? How did he grow up in a home where he did not even learn the truth about Christ until he was a teenager, and then join with a missionary, and then travel and see this missionary persecuted, and to bond with this missionary? How did all of this come about? How was it possible that this young man named Timothy could live a life like this for the Lord? There are a number of factors that I think that we could look at in the life of this young man. But this morning I just want us to look at one. And I want you to get your Bibles and look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because this is where we see that this very early, this very foundational, this very valuable element of his faith was due to his mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 is the only place that we read the name Eunice, his mother, his grandmother Lois. We read about his mother, and over in Acts chapter 16, when Paul came through Lystra and took Timothy with him on his missionary journey, but we don't read her name there. We read about her again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but we don't read her name there. This is the only place where God chose to tell us the name of Timothy's mother. And this morning, I want us to see three fundamental and yet three essential elements of Eunice's faith. A faith that had an eternal impact on her son. Surely Eunice could not have known the impact that she would ultimately have on her son. Surely when she was teaching Timothy the scriptures when he was an infant, when he was a baby, surely she had no idea what he would end up being for the cause of Christ. Surely when she was thinking about raising this boy and perhaps not having the support of a husband as she should have in a Christian home, how is she going to raise this boy and train him up in the way that he should go all by herself? There's three elements of her faith that are talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. That we need to bring into our homes, that we need to bring into our lives. And this lesson this morning is not just for mothers. It is not just about mothers. But it is about a mother who made a significant impact, not just in the life of her son, but in the life of every person who came in contact with Timothy as a preacher of the gospel. When you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the first thing that you see about this woman's faith, the Bible says, Paul says, that this faith dwelt. It dwelt in Eunice. She had a faith that was a dwelling faith. She had a faith, the word there means she had a faith that made its home in her heart. Well, where does faith come from? You know Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes when the word comes. This was not, there was no surprise here. There was no wonder here. Where did Eunice's faith come? She has a faith that is dwelling in her heart. Where did that faith come from? It came from the fact that Eunice was one who devoted herself to the Word of God. But faith does not just come when the Word of God comes. Faith builds when the Word of God builds. When Paul talked to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, Paul told him in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. God's word is that which is going to build us up. God's word is that which is going to build our faith. How strong is your faith this morning? How strong is your faith? It's interesting when you hear about buildings being built in South Florida. You always hear about what kind of hurricane they can stand up against. Last week, the FPL building last week that was being tested? And they talked about the new FPL building that's over here in Riviera Beach somewhere. And they said it can withstand a Category 5 hurricane. That's what we want to know today. We want to know how strong, how well built was this building. If storms come, how is it going to be able to stand up? How strong is your faith? What kind of storm? What size storm, what category storm can your faith stand up against? You see, faith is only built when you allow the Word of God to build it in your life. You see, faith will initially come with the Word of God, but faith will only remain and build as you allow the Word of God to build it. But faith also roots only when the Word of God roots. You might take time to look at that parable of the soils that Jesus told, Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 8. You remember Jesus told the parable about four different soils and how the sower went out and he sowed seed on all of these different kinds of soils. There was one of those soils that Matthew calls a stony soil. Luke calls it a rocky soil. The seed fell on this stony soil. Well, there's not much there. There's not much ground there. There's not much for the roots to take. But the Bible says when that seed fell upon the stony soil, that it immediately sprang up. But because there was no depth, because there was no place for the roots to go down, when the hard times came, that plant was taken away. How about your faith? We talk about building a faith. You know, a building is not just something that needs to go up. A building will not go up any further than the strength of its foundation goes down. How deep is your faith? When the highest leader of our country comes out with pride to announce that he believes that a man and a man have the right to be married, how deep is your faith? When our media throws all of these statistics out at us to tell us that it's about 50-50 today, that about 50% of our nation is okay with same-sex marriage, but about 50% is not. How deep is your faith? How long will we continue to go on with a faith that is rooted not in self, not in society, not in our world, but a faith that Colossians 2 and verse 17 is rooted and grounded in the faith. You see, Romans chapter 4 says that Abraham had a faith that did not waver. How much does a tree waver in a storm when it has no roots? You see, we have storms. We have some serious storms that we as Christians are facing and are going to face in this nation. The question this morning is, are you going to be able to stand? Are you going to be able to withstand? How deep is your faith? The faith that Eunice had was a faith that was a dwelling faith. You see, faith is not something that just comes along, spends a little bit of time, and then carries on. Faith isn't something that goes on vacation. Have you ever stayed in a hotel room? You know, you travel, you go and you stay in a hotel. You ever gone to a campground and you stay in your trailer or you stay in your tent? But there is that time. You long to get back home because that's just temporary. You don't want to go and live in that tent. You want to get back home. Home is where you dwell. Home is where you live. That's the word that the Bible uses to talk about Eunice's faith. That it was at home in her. That it was alive in her. That it was dwelling in her. It's interesting, the same word is used about Christ. Ephesians 3 and verse 17 that says that Christ dwells in us through faith. It's the same word that's used in Colossians 3:16, where the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Same word in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, that this faith dwelt in her. Faith is not going to live in us. Faith is not going to make its home in us until this book does. Until the word of God is made at home in our hearts. Until the word of God is written upon our hearts. Until the word of God is hidden in our hearts. Faith is not going to dwell there. It might just be on vacation. If we want our homes, if we want our homes to produce children like Timothy, if we want our congregation to produce children and to produce faith like Timothy. And brethren, it's going to take a faith that comes from the Word of God, is built on the Word of God, is rooted in the Word of God, and that lives and dwells within the Word of God. But come back to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. That's not the only element. That's not the only aspect of her faith that's key in this verse. The verse also says that she had a genuine, you might have the word sincere, she had a genuine faith. If you were to try to come up with a word to describe to describe your faith, the Bible says her faith was genuine. You might have a marginal reading. Maybe you have a footnote in your Bible along with that word sincere, that word genuine, that says that this is a faith that is unhypocritical. There's no hypocrisy. When it comes to this kind of faith, the Bible says that this isn't a faith that pretends. The kind of faith that is genuine, it doesn't pretend to be a Christian. It is a Christian. It doesn't pretend to want to do right. It wants to do right. It doesn't pretend to enjoy worship. It enjoys worship. It doesn't pretend to want to go to heaven. The one whose faith is genuine is a faith that has no hypocrisy to it. Remember what Jesus said? You know how many times Jesus used the word hypocrites to talk about individuals in His day? He used the word hypocrites in Matthew chapter 6 to talk about these individuals who were fasting. And He talked about these individuals who were fasting in Matthew chapter 6. He calls them hypocrites because all they wanted was to be seen of men. They weren't concerned about the inside and what their insides looked to God. They were concerned about what their outsides looked to other people. And so in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 28, Jesus says, "You hypocrites, all you're concerned about is your outward appearance, but on the inside, you're as filthy as can be." In Titus chapter 1, Paul talked about some individuals who professed. If you look in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, they professed godliness. They professed good things. But the Bible says that their works betrayed them. That their works denied what their mouth was saying. A genuine faith is not a faith that says one thing and does another. A genuine faith is not a faith that expects one thing of some people in our family or some people in the church, but not of our own selves. Children have the ability, almost better than some others, children have the ability to spot hypocrisy better than a lot of other people. And we don't know it, and they don't say it, but we learn it by their activity. You know, we can tell our children all day that God is the most important thing to us. We can tell our children all day with our mouth that the church has the number one priority in our home. But do you know that our actions are going to speak louder than our words? And while the children may hear one thing, the question this morning is, do they also see the same thing? When Timothy was growing up in Eunice's home, the same thing he heard from his mother when she was teaching him the scriptures from the time he was a baby, the same thing he heard her read was the same thing he saw her live. That's what a genuine faith is. What kind of faith do we have? Do we have a faith that is unhypocritical? Do we have the kind of faith that is proven? James chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1 says that our faith is going to be tried. And when your faith is tested, is it proven? When your children see your faith being tested, when they see your faith in God being tested by all that's happening in our world, when they see you come out the other side, do they see your faith proven? That what you said, you still stand on it. What you believed, you still hold to it. The faith that's genuine is a faith that holds on to those principles that God has outlined in His Word. And even when those trials and tests come, it will not deviate. The faith of Eunice was a genuine faith because it was a faith that was doing. Look in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, we have an extended section of Scripture. We have half of this chapter. James chapter 2 has 26 verses in it. Half of it, the last 13 verses, detail for us the relationship that our faith is to have to our works. You maybe know James chapter 1, where the Bible says we're not just to be hearers of the Word, we're supposed to be doers of it. And then you get to James chapter 2, and in James chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says," he's got the right words. He's got, in fact, he's got this down. He sounds like he knows what he's saying. He says that he has faith, but he does not have works. James says, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with works, and by works faith was made perfect? A genuine faith is not just something I hold in my heart. A genuine faith is not just something I believe and it's near and dear to me. A genuine faith is a faith that is active. It is moving. It is doing. A faith that only exists in our heart and a faith that is not doing, the Bible says, is a faith that is dead. A genuine faith is a faith that is growing. How many times did Jesus say to His disciples, O ye of little faith? Their faith was not growing in the way that it should be. And we've already talked about our faith being built upon and rooted in the Word of God. And a genuine faith is a faith that is not stagnant. Is not at a place where I'm strong enough and I know enough of where I am. A faith that is genuine keeps on growing, and a faith that is genuine is not ashamed. Faith can be tested. Faith can be tried. Have you ever been ashamed of your faith? Have you ever been ashamed for standing up for what was right? Have you ever been ashamed to be a Christian? Have you ever been ashamed because everybody else was doing it, but you were not involved because of the activity? Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. This word in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, where it talks about her genuine faith, you read the rest of the book of 2 Timothy, and at least three times you're going to find this idea of not being ashamed. Paul told Timothy in verse 8 not to be ashamed of his chains. He said in verse 12 that he's not ashamed to be called a Christian. He said later on in chapter 1 that there were others who were not ashamed of Paul and his chains. And then he gets to chapter 2 and verse 15 and he says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. No matter what happens in our nation, no matter what happens in our culture, no matter what people believe about morality, no matter what laws may be passed in our land to govern morality, let us never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let us never be ashamed to stand up for truth. Let us never be ashamed of the sacredness of marriage and the definition that God has given to marriage, and the sacredness of a human life, even that life in the womb. May we never be so swayed by society that we begin to see anything else in that womb other than a precious creation of God. Faith that we need to have is a dwelling faith, is a genuine faith. The faith that Eunice had was a transmittable faith. You first see that the Bible says in verse 5 that Paul says, here's what brings me joy. When I call to remembrance the faith that is in you. Timothy, that faith is in you. It first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And then he says, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Two times in that verse, at the beginning and at the end. Two times in that verse, Paul says, that faith that they had is in you, and I am persuaded that it is in you. The faith that Eunice had was a transmittable faith. It was a transmittable faith because of the way that she lived. Faith can be exemplified, can be lived, can be shown unto others by the way that we conduct ourselves in front of them. You know, it's interesting. In 1 Peter chapter 3, when it talks about the wife, in the first two verses, that it talks about the faith and the lifestyle of the wife, and it says there that if she's married to an unbelieving husband, that if she will so live before him that she might without a word win him. That's faith being exemplified and being transmitted to someone else just by the way that we live. If you're in 2 Timothy, flip over two chapters. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look in verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul continues to talk about Timothy's faith. And he says, but you must continue in the things, number one, which you have learned. He tells Timothy, do not give up. Do not stop. Do not cease living and abiding in the things that you have learned. Timothy's faith was a transmittable faith because his mother had taught him. You don't learn unless you're taught. His mother had taught him the truth. And it is our responsibilities as Christians is to take what we have learned and to commit it unto others that they may also commit it unto others. Faith, the Christian faith, is a transmittable faith as long as it is a taught faith. But notice the second thing that's mentioned in verse 14, that he had not only learned of these things, but he had also been assured of them. Apparently, Eunice not only spent time teaching, not only spent time telling, not only spent time reading to Timothy, but she found opportunity to convince him that what she was teaching was true. To persuade him to listen to those things that she was telling him to follow. We have as a responsibility as Christians to not only teach, but to convince, to persuade. The Bible says that when Paul went on his journeys, that when it came time for him to preach, that he would go in and he would explain, and then he would persuade, giving them reasons that they ought to believe, giving them reasons that they ought to obey. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. A faith that we can take and not just harbor within ourselves, but to share and to transmit unto others. You know, there are many of us in here. There are many of us in here who we had this kind of mother growing up. We had the kind of mother who had a dwelling faith, a genuine faith, transmittable faith. There are some of you here this morning who have this kind of mother. There are some in here this morning who want to be this kind of mother. There are some in here this morning who one day will be this kind of mother. To have a dwelling faith, to have a genuine faith, to have a transmittable faith. But brethren, as I said at the beginning, this is not just a lesson about and for mothers. Is there any part of this faith that does not apply to each and every one of us? How strong is your faith this morning? How determined are you to live right and to do right? How determined are you to take that which is so precious to you, to teach it to others, to teach it to your children, to teach it to your parents, to teach it to your relatives, to teach it to your friends, to teach it to your neighbors, to teach it to absolute strangers? How precious is your faith? Eunice's faith was so precious, she could not and would not allow anyone to grow up in her home without sharing that faith with them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 is where Paul told Timothy, "You have known the Holy Scriptures." You've known them from infancy. You've known these Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. The Scriptures that you hold in your hand, that we have in our possession, are the only things that can give us the wisdom and the knowledge we need to be saved. The very thing that Eunice obeyed, the very thing that Timothy obeyed, is the very thing that we need to obey. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's what faith is. It's believing without any question that Jesus died upon the cross, that He shed His blood for me, that I am a sinner and I need that blood to wash away my sins. Do you believe that? How strong is your faith? How deep is your faith in that truth? Is it deep enough to say, "I believe it so much, there's no point in me trying to live for me anymore. I need to live for God"? Strong enough to repent from the sinful way of living and say, "I want to give my life unto the Lord"? If that's where your faith is this morning, if you're not a Christian, why don't you come today? Confess the faith that is in your heart. Confess that faith that is a dwelling, genuine faith. "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And if you're ready to do that this morning, you can do just as Eunice did, just as Timothy did, and just as everyone else in the New Testament did to become a Christian. You can be baptized into Christ, buried into His death, that where He shed that blood, His blood might wash away your sins, that God might add you to His church, that He might write your name in heaven. Are you a Christian this morning? You know, it doesn't matter how strong your faith is. Doesn't matter how genuine you think your faith is, if you have not been fully obedient to the will of God. All things are ready this morning. There's garments ready. There's warm water ready. There's a congregation ready to encourage you. Question is, are you ready? As a child of God, God calls upon us to serve Him faithfully, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, serving Him faithfully for the rest of our lives. If you're a Christian this morning, maybe haven't been living the way that God would have us to live, if we can help you this morning to leave here knowing that you're in a right relationship with God, and please come as together we stand and sing.